Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And it's great to have the Major Billy Downer back with us on Sports Talk, as he's been making some important visits, a little vacation here and there, and making some trips to various parts of the country. And tonight, he's down in the beautiful part of South Carolina, down at Hilton Head Island, and we welcome the Major to Sports Talk. Good evening, Major. How are you?
Good evening, Phil. Thank you for the wonderful intro.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I have been across the country. Been to Orlando last week to the ICAST show, which is basically the SHOT show, for those who understand that, of the fishing world. And I was down there with other members of our department representing DNR, and we were thanking the fishing industry for what they provide for our fisheries, much like we've talked about in the past about hunting, shooting sports, you know, the purchase of ammunition, firearms, and archery equipment all goes to fund wildlife restoration efforts in South Carolina, hunter education classes, public shooting ranges. In the same manner, the Dingell-Johnson Act, which places the excise tax on the fishing industry, provides money for fisheries and marine programs on the coast. So tremendous presence here in South Carolina. Shimano, Shakespeare, Pure Fishing, Zebco, names that everybody's heard of. Really Z-Man Baits. Lots of other vendors there from South. Oh, Hook, HUK, people are familiar with them. Always want to thank them for what they do to the money they provide, that they provide to our fisheries. And, you know, law enforcement, we're a small part of that as far as what we see. We don't get any funding from it, but we certainly help manage the recreation of fishing. So we were down there also looking at new products and things that are going on. But, again, just it's amazing to see how many nationally known and recognized fishing manufacturers are located in the Palmetto State. So really yeah. Cool to be a part of that. Was glad we were down there. But that's what I was doing last week.
That was
last week.
That's pretty amazing. Let me ask you something real quick while you're on the topic before you go on to other things. What, in your opinion, basic question, very basic, say you're talking to a novice fisherman, what makes for a good rod and reel, in your opinion?
That's a great question. Probably the best question is, what can you find? That makes for the best rod and reel, because I can tell you about 10 reels and how they're great. And if you don't have a vendor or a store that sells 10 reels, that don't really mean nothing to you, except for the online world, which has changed that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, Shakespeare has been a very popular. Ugly Stick is a great rod. It's a name that's been around for a long time. But you'll find people that have favorite rods, just like they have favorite camo, just like they have favorite brands of khaki pants they wear, and favorite shoes. Everybody's got their favorite brand. And if you're a sport fish, if you're in the bass fishing world, it's whoever pays you the most is who's your favorite. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
It's all about salesmanship. But, yes, I would say that Shakespeare probably is Daiwa, or names that everybody knows that are out there that makes a pretty good product for the money. I've always liked, Zebco, as far as the best reel for a starter fisherman, people laugh, but Zebco 33 is what I started with, and I still mm-hmm. love it today in certain environments. It's great. The old push-button Zebco 33, the Zebco 202 was also a good one for small fish, like panfish. Zebco 33 will work on bass. I mean, it's just all the way up. Now, you're not going to see a pro out there fishing with a Zebco 33. They'll get laughed off the lake. But I'm just telling you, for the basic person starting off, a Zebco 33 combo is hard to beat. If you're looking for a rod for a child starting off, Zevco 33, Zevco 202 for the smaller reel. But those are both push-button reels, really easy to use. I love a 202 today if I'm panfishing. If I'm fishing for panfish, I love a 202 reel. Just great for me. I like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people love what they call open face reels. They love spinning reels. They love those types. On the coast, probably spinning reels are more popular than anything else. And every brand's out there in the sun. It's great brand. You know, Penn is the gold standard. Literally, quote, gold standard when it comes to offshore fishing. But those reels can be in the hundreds of dollars. You can get smaller pin reels for a couple hundred dollars, and that's a quality reel. But your basic person going out fishing, a Shakespeare rod and reel combo is great to start with.
All right.
No doubt about it.
All right, hang on a second. We'll talk more about that and get into your other topics. But we want to tell folks that they can reach you. If you've got a comment, question, something you want to discuss with the major, phone number here on SC Wild on from DNR on Sports Talk is 888-898-2525. Major, let's go to CJ up in Woodruff. He's called in early with something for you. CJ, you're on with Major Downer.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I had a question. I fished last year down in the Lane St. Stephen area of South Carolina. And while I was fishing there, I saw a couple of alligators. And I thought back to a show that I saw on TV. This company they have a business, or this family has a business in Louisiana where they remove reptiles from businesses or homes or wherever they may be a nuisance. And there was a business that called a guy out. He came out. He immediately got out, saw the reptile in a little canal by the business, jumped in the water to try to locate it. It was a huge alligator, and I just wanted to ask a question. Should people look at that show and say, well, they're not as dangerous as we perceived them to be? Because I did see some people in the water in Santee around the St. Stephen area, but I also saw alligators, and you keep hearing about people being killed by them, but I wanted to ask you about that.
Thank you. Go ahead, Major.
Great question. Thank you for that question, and thank you for allowing Phil to have yet another moment on the stage with one of two of his favorite animals. And we're going to talk about both of them tonight, but thanks for bringing up alligators first. Alligators are absolutely should be given a wide berth. Now, as I've said so many times for the last 6-7 years with Phil, alligators are not crocodiles. When I started this show, I'd say that alligators don't have the aggression the crocodiles do. However, in the last 6 years, we've seen a change. 6 years ago, I could tell you that no one had been killed by an alligator. That is not true today in South Carolina. The number of alligators and the number of people moving into natural alligator habitat puts more people and more alligators in touch with each other. And when you do that, alligators are going to lose every time. Again, alligators have a very small brain. It's meant to tell them two things, as I always say, and Phil's going to laugh, but it's either to eat or reproduce. I don't want an alligator looking at me and having to decide either one of those things. I've said it over and over again. But they are an animal that reacts. Sometimes they make mistakes, but that mistake could cost you. And because we have more interaction with alligators, that's happened now. We've had people that have been killed. You need to jump in the water like the shows? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Are alligators going to be coming across the lake to come kill you? No, most likely not. I say no, most likely, because alligators don't do that. Now, alligators that have been fed, different situation, and this is what we see most of the time, is that alligators being fed, that natural fear of humans is removed, and now that alligator, when it sees a person, it wants to be fed. And we had a situation last year when an alligator came out of the water and bit a person on the leg, let go, and ran back in the water. The reason it did that, we found out later, that alligator had been being fed day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
So it saw a person. Its brain said, food. He's going to feed me. Ran up. He didn't feed him. Animal bit, because that's what it's going to do. Then runs back in the water. Now, do I want to be bit by an alligator's mistake? No, you're not. And people who get bit in the water, it's very hard because alligators' tendency, if you fight, they're going to close down and draw into the water and pull you in. And they are a powerful animal. So, no, do not swim in the water. Don't jump on them. Give them wide berth. They're not going to come in your boat after you. But
they do that thing called the death roll, right? The thing called the death roll?
Well, they call it the death roll. What that is basically is alligators have very blunt teeth. They're not sharp. They can't they swallow things whole like a turtle, or they take something, they throw it under the water where it rots, and then they come up and they grab it, and they roll to pull chunks off that they can eat. That's how they feed. Now, when you pull back on an alligator and fight, it's going to roll in defense. And that's the death roll we talk about, you hear about. But they're rolling in defense to get away and pull back. And if you're – that's where you've seen people get bit on the arms, the hands. If the alligator does that spin, it's going to pull your arm out of socket before you can stop. And they can rip your arm off. That's the problem there. A very, very powerful animal. Again, give them a wide berth. See signs of alligators in the area. Don't feed alligators. Please don't feed the alligators.
All right.
You know, again, like I said before, alligators show up at your dock. Beware, you know, don't let your kids go swimming or your little small dog swim out there with alligators swimming, because a dog is a natural prey item for an alligator.
All right, let me ask you something real quick. Now, you made the comment, this alligator came out of the water, approached this person, kind of expecting to be fed. When it wasn't, it bit the person and went back in the water. So is it possible to turn an alligator into a pet? I mean, like you feed it, you know, regularly and
treat
it nicely. I'm
just going to make an easy answer out of that. Somebody probably want to argue with me that alligators don't have the brain capable of being a pet. I'm sorry.
I mean, you can't just have one, pet them, and treat them nicely, and they'll won't eat you.
This isn't Miami Vice, Phil. Stop bringing that up. This isn't Miami Vice. We're not on the big boat, the fountain in the harbor with our boat. I can't even remember the name of that gator, but I remember that on the show. No, you can't have a pet alligator.
Okay.
But again, alligators are not going to, by habit, run out of the water, grab you, that kind of thing. That happened last year, but it was because that alligator had been being fed in that area and it expected food. And again, they're a simple animal. They don't understand. They don't think. They don't reason. They just eat or breed, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And speaking of alligators, I did want to mention this tonight. I was going to give you this nod, but we've got an even bigger one here with the question.
Yeah.
But the alligator draw closed earlier this month on the 15th, and I talked to our person in charge of our drawing, and people who were successfully drawn for an alligator tag for the season coming up second Saturday in September, they should be seeing their tags probably by the end of next week, or their notification they should be receiving notification that they were successful, if they were successfully drawn to receive a tag by the end of next week. So folks are waiting on that. You should hear by the end of next week if you have been drawn for the alligator season. Again, it's a draw. It takes around 2 years now to 3 years to get drawn. Very popular drawing for folks to get drawn for alligator season. But that's our show on alligators tonight. Phil, your second favorite animal that we always talk about every year is?
Sharks.
There you go. It's not Shark Week. We already missed it. But we're going to talk about sharks tonight because I'm down in Hilton Head, and yesterday I saw something I've never seen before. I love learning. I've never seen a purple flag on the ocean before, but I was out on the beach. They were flying a purple flag. I was like, what in the world is that? Well, that means dangerous sea animals present. In other words, sharks. And which I find humorous because that probably could be flown every day. But then they had a red flag up, which means the water was closed. And like a dummy, I went walking out in the water. I didn't know what that meant. Lifeguard's blowing his whistle. I'm like, do you know me? I'm Major Downer. Come on. I'm a game warden. I know about these things.
Yeah.
I got out of the water and I said, what's going on? They told me. And lo and behold, there was a reported shark bite 2 days ago here in Hilton Head. So people on high alert, they'd seen some shark fins, supposedly, and they closed the water at least twice yesterday trying to just be wary. And that's just the local beach. It's not DNR. So it brought the question, as we've talked about many for several shows over the last few years, every time, basically this time of year in July, we talk about sharks. So we're going to have a little shark night and talk about sharks in South Carolina, what the do's and don'ts are, what the real reality is, and what the myth is. So shark attacks, quote-unquote, in South Carolina are predominantly shark bites. So shark bites. So in South Carolina, we actually have 20 shark species that regularly inhabit South Carolina waters. But the most abundant tend to be small coastal species. And of those, the black tip's probably one of the faster swimmers and larger coastal species that feeds in shallow water. They reach up to 6.5 feet in length. And the majority of the time, the black tip is what is the culprit for what we call a hit and run shark bite. Murky water, shallow water, knee deep water, waist deep water, they come in, they see something flash, they take a bite, they realize it's not what they're supposed to eat, and they leave. Problem is, they got sharp teeth. Nobody wants to be a mistake bite. I don't want to be a mistake bite. And they can rip fingers and all kinds of things if they bite your hand. Remember, I've talked about this every year, and we'll talk about it today. Over the last 20 years, South Carolina has averaged around 4 shark bite incidents annually. The vast majority of these are mistaken identity. Again, humans aren't natural prey for sharks, but when a human is mistaken, the shark typically will bite and release. Well, that doesn't leave you feeling any better when you're bleeding. But these hit-and-run incidents can be traumatic. We know that. But just for instance, bee and wasp stings, drownings, and lightning strikes result in more fatalities per year than shark bites. Just an interesting little factoid.
Uh-huh.
So how do you – so what are our culprits? So we talked about this. The black tip's one of the number one. The other one's the bull shark. The bull shark's kind of a little – he's bully, quote-unquote, by nature. The bull shark is the one that you've heard about that they've cut the they've cut out of their stomach when they've caught them offshore and different things. They've cut license plates out of them. They find weird things inside them because they see something, they bite it, they swallow it. Bull sharks are that way. Bull sharks are technically considered one of the, quote, man-eaters, but they predominantly are, again, a hit and run. Black tips are not. Black tips, again, are very typical of our bites, but, again, not something that kills people year in, year out. Typically, it's hit and run bites. The bull shark, just a little history piece, again, not to make them the enemy here, but the bull shark is actually probably the real shark behind the Jaws story from way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, a shark that came into New Jersey, into the freshwater swimming area, and actually killed several people over a period of a few days. That is where the original quote-unquote Jaws story came from.
Uh-huh.
And it was a bull shark. And a bull shark has the ability to swim in fresh water. They can actually swim in fresh water. They're one of the few sharks that can do that. They can go from salt water to fresh water and come back out. They feed in marine estuaries. But, again, the black tip, probably the most popular. It's a smaller shark, 6.5-7 feet long, again. That makes you feel any better to get bit and let go of because it's probably going to hurt. So how do we avoid shark bites? Number one, avoid wearing bright colors and shiny objects. I remember when I was young, Mama wouldn't let me wear red. Wouldn't let me go out on a red raft. Remember those red rafts? She said, if he had the blue and red, we'd make sure the blue's down because the shark sees red, he sees blood. That's not true. That's not true. But the bright colors are something that will attract their attention. Shiny objects in the water. When we saw shiny objects, here's the common mistake we see that is predominant in a lot of shark bites that happen. People wearing jewelry in the water. A diamond ring, a gold ring, a watch with a glass, casing that the sun through the water shines in that murky water and flashes. Well, that flash can easily be mistaken by a shark for a fish scale reflecting light, and they bite at it. And so people get bit in the hands, the extremities. That's where shark bites generally occur in South Carolina. Not to say that people don't get eaten in Australia and in other areas where great whites are predominant, but in South Carolina, the black tip shark is one of our main culprits. And avoid wearing shiny objects in the water. don't go in the water if you're bleeding. That should be obvious. Sharks do have a tremendous sense of smell, and they can sense blood, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So don't go in the water if you're bleeding. Avoid swimming alone in the murky water at dawn or dusk. Now, a lot of our coastal areas are murky. That's just how our water is. Mm-hmm. But don't go in the early morning or at night. Don't go swimming at night because this is when sharks typically feed. And they're going to be, you know, in the shallower water looking for fish and that type of time of day. So, again, typically our shark bites in South Carolina are hit and run. They're a bite. They let go because they realize it's not their prey item. And black tips are the number one culprit. They're a smaller shark, around 7 feet in length at the most. But, again, that doesn't make you feel any better if you got bit by a shark. So I don't want to downplay anyone who has been bitten by a shark. It does happen. How do we avoid it? Don't wear shiny objects. Avoid murky water, being in the ocean in the early morning hours or late evening hours at dark particularly.
How about?
Avoid bright, shiny colors. And don't go in the water if you're bleeding.
Yeah, how about the stories we hear about people, shark comes up on them, threatening whatever, and they hit them on the nose or something, and the shark swims right away. I mean, is that a good defensive move to hit them on the nose?
I mean, I guess if you're getting ready to get bitten, anything you can do to get that shark turn around will work. Is that a scientific method? Not necessarily. All their sensory perception is on the nose, so there is some belief that hitting them there shocks them for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're that close that you can put your hands on them, best thing to do is get away. Get away from them. You know, don't thrash around the water, splash, and attract them either.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's easier said than done. You see a shark, you're probably going to freak out a little bit. Most people do. What's interesting is the black tip shark, which is the most common of our hit and run type bites, is the number one shark that most people go fishing for. They're more predominant because they do breed here in South Carolina, in South Carolina waters, and their young will go into our estuaries and feed because we have a rich estuary system to feed as they're growing up. So the black tip is the most common shark most people go fishing for if they're going to fish for shark and eat shark. Interestingly enough, the black tip is very popular.
Do you like shark steak or shark bits?
I have had shark. I've liked it. Sometimes I've liked, sometimes I'm not. I will tell you that different shark tastes different. And I've mentioned this before. The Mako shark, which is a very fast shark, bigger shark, lots of teeth. I mean, they're just a fast attack predator offshore. Their meat is so different in consistency. It is often substituted for swordfish. It is an excellent steak, fish steak.
Uh-huh.
Like swordfish. I've had it blackened, and you could not tell the difference between a Mako and a swordfish. So some shark meat is different in texture. But a lot of people do eat blackfin. That's what they eat when they fish for it. Again, don't swim around the piers when people are fishing and using bait, because sharks do hang around the piers because there's food readily available there.
Yeah.
Remember that. So don't swim around our piers. Give them a wide berth. Swim down from them. Don't swim around them. Just good common sense can keep us safe from sharks. But that's our shark tip for today, Phil.
Yes, sir.
A little ode to the shark today. And thank you, CJ, for the question on alligators. But again, alligators, you know, just using common sense. Don't feed alligators. Don't throw fish scraps out around your dock because you will attract gators. They have a simple mind, and they will come for food like that, and they will associate that food with you. So we always discourage that you give gators a good wide berth.
Major,
well,
it's been great. I know you're enjoying yourself down at Hilton Head. And
yes, sir.
Follow your own advice and watch out being in the waters down there.
Yes, sir. Nothing wrong with enjoying the ocean in South Carolina. We have a beautiful ocean. But just, again, use common sense.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Appreciate you being with us. Major Billy Downer, SC Wild from DNR, here on Sports Talk. That'll do it for us tonight from here in Charlotte. Matt Smith will be here with you tomorrow night. I'll be back in Columbia. Coverage of Shane Beamer, coverage of Dabo Swinney all tomorrow. See you then.